Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 69 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
And we're drier now than we were then in 2016.
Rowan County lifted its burn ban, but restrictions are still in place in the Daniel Boone National Forest.
The city of Moorhead passed property tax rates in a special meeting last night.
A Moorhead State professor led the School Readiness Summit for East Kentucky's region.
Rand Paul gave remarks yesterday about the ongoing impeachment inquiry.
Climbers will test out the border wall in the Red River Gorge this weekend.
In sports, Rowan County soccer teams compete in the 61st District Tournament at home tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A 10% chance of showers this evening, otherwise partly cloudy skies with a low around 54. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
The burn ban in Rowan County has been lifted, but burning in the Daniel Boone National Forest is still restricted. Officials with the Department of Forestry say anyone in violation of the U.S. Forest Service supervisor's burn ban will be fined and may be required to appear in federal court. In addition to fines, any individual or group responsible for causing a wildfire may be held liable for the fire suppression cost. District biologist Christina Wampler says the current conditions are worse than 2016 when a wildfire ravaged the Gatlinburg, Tennessee area.
This little bit of rain we're getting will help, but it's only going to help for a couple of days. And then as the temperatures increase and the wind is going to continue, all of those fuels, all those fine fuels like leaves and grass that are low to the ground are going to dry out very quickly.
Wampler says updates on fires and restrictions in the forest can be found on the U.S. Forest Service Daniel Boone National Forest Facebook page.
Recent rains have helped, but the State Commissioner of Agriculture says it will take a lot more water to recover from the dry weather. Commissioner Ryan Quarles says the summer drought has put a lot of stress on Kentucky farm products. Quarles says the drought's effect will be seen in crop yields this fall.
A lot of stress out there. You know, double crop beans are a lot of severe quality and, yield issues that we're going to have this fall. We expect a hay shortage.
Quarles told state lawmakers that as of Monday, 90% of the state was in abnormally dry or drought condition.
The city of Moorhead has passed its real and personal property tax rates for 2019. The vote was held during a special called meeting of the city council last night. Council member Mike Cash made the motion.
I make a motion that we set the rate, the city tax rate for real property fixed at 31.8 cents per $100, and the city rate for personal property fixed at 52.25 cents per $100.
Council also set the motor vehicle and watercraft tax rate for the 2020 year at 22 cents per $100. The full meeting can be viewed on the Moorhead, Kentucky City Government Facebook page.
A Moorhead State professor served as the keynote speaker for the School Readiness Summit for the Eastern Kentucky region last month. The summit allowed professional collaboration to help families and communities provide the highest quality early childhood care and education. Dr. April Miller is a professor of early childhood, elementary, and special education at MSU. She says speaking at the event was an honor.
The School Readiness Summit was held by the Governor's Cabinet on Early Childhood, and it was a readiness for schools, daycares, preschools to all work together to help children move from preschool, birth to five, into school.
Miller's speech was focused on how educators can better work together from early childhood into schools to build a bridge of communication to best benefit students.
A new restaurant called Verlia's Kitchen opened on Sunday in Martin County. It's taking the place of Walker's Restaurant, which was a staple in Martin County from 1979 to 2007. Verlia's Kitchen attempts to keep the same atmosphere that its predecessor built, which includes retaining much of the menu. Dennis Moore works at Verlia's Kitchen and tells WYMT the restaurant could bring the community together.
We're trying to bring it back. You know, we've got our fire department coming back now, so hopefully things will, look up.
Verlia's Kitchen is located on 622 North Creek Road in Pilgrim, Kentucky.
The debate over the upcoming wet-dry vote in Elkhorn City got more heated over the weekend after many of the signs encouraging residents to vote no were either vandalized or stolen altogether. Elkhorn City Mayor Mike Taylor tells Mountaintop Media he was notified of the situation just after daylight Saturday morning.
Two no signs were thrown over here in the yard. Now they're back. Somebody's laid them back over the fence in the owner's property, and they were on the fence here and there. And this makes the second time that's tore down, but this time they tuck sticks. You can see where they've tucked the time to break the metal here. This is metal. They have broke the metal, tucked the time, not caring for anything, but taking the whole sign this time before it couldn't be put back up.
Signs posted on private property as well as churches were among those destroyed or discarded. Anyone with information about the vandalism is encouraged to contact the Elkhorn City Police Department at 606-424-1828.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
On Monday, Republican Senator Rand Paul gave the opening keynote to a local chapter of the Federalist Society, a conservative and libertarian law organization. He also answered questions on a number of current issues affecting D.C. politics. Paul spoke with Spectrum News about the ongoing impeachment inquiry involving President Trump.
I don't see any difference between what they're accusing the president of doing and what Joe Biden did and what four Democrat senators did in threatening aid. And we had four Democrat senators write to the government of Ukraine and said, if you don't keep investigating Trump and the Russian connection, our support for our bipartisan support for your aid may go away. So to me, it sounds like both sides are doing similar things.
Paul appeared to be referencing a May 2018 letter from three senators to Ukraine's general prosecutor in which they urged the government to cooperate with the Mueller investigation. There is no evidence that they threatened to limit any aid to the country.
Talks continue in Congress on the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, which many business leaders in Kentucky say are crucial to the health of the state's economy. The deal raises the minimum wage and creates and protects manufacturing jobs by offering companies incentives for engineering and production in the U.S. Ford Motor Company's president of automotive, Joe Heinrich, says the trade deal is crucial for the auto industry.
So for our workforce, where one out of six vehicles produced in the United States are exported outside the U.S., having a competitive USMCA agreement ratified and certified so we can plan the business is very important to our manufacturing footprint and to our employees.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is calling for lawmakers to approve the deal by the end of November, with hopes that Canada will ratify it at around the same time.
A statement made by President Trump inspired climbers and an engineer, Rick Weber, to create a climbing challenge that will be held in the Red River Gorge this weekend. While at a press conference at the border wall, the president made the claim that his wall would be, quote, impossible to climb. Climber Kim Nguyen tells LEX 18 she agrees with Weber that the wall can be climbed.
I mean, it's a very unusual structure and not very typical of what we climb, but I imagine that people can figure it out.
Weber built a structure to emulate the president's design of parallel posts with a plate at the top. The competition will be held October 11th and 12th.
While impeachment drama swirls in Washington, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was back home in Kentucky on Monday talking about fighting opioid misuse and confirming conservative judges. McConnell left both events without speaking to reporters. His only direct reference to impeachment came while speaking to members of the Conservative Federalist Society about the Senate process of confirming judges. While McConnell has avoided talking about impeachment during the congressional recess, he released a social media campaign ad vowing to stop any Democratic push to remove Trump from office. The Associated Press says McConnell is using the ad to raise campaign funds off the Trump inquiry. McConnell is running for re-election next year.
A man from Johnson County is searching for a kidney after suffering from a disease for 17 years. John Goble was diagnosed with IgA nephropathy, an incurable disease that becomes worse over time. He was told that the disease had reached a point where his kidneys are no longer working enough to keep him alive. Goble told WYMT his doctors gave him three options.
And dialysis can keep you alive, but it's not a way to live. The waiting list for UK from the University of Kentucky is about 5 years right now. Do we want to do this? Do we want to search for a living kidney donor?
Goble hopes to find a kidney donor in the next few months. You can learn more by visiting John's Kidney Quest Facebook page.
Health officials say they're investigating lung injury cases which could potentially be linked to vaping. WMKY's Lori Likens has the story.
The Kentucky Department for Public Health announced it is investigating 25 cases in the state. Of those, one case is directly linked, four are probable, and two were ruled out. The confirmed case involves a man in his early 30s who vaped with nicotine and no THC or synthetic cannabinoid. All 25 cases involve people who use vaping products. According to WKYT, 18 people have died in 15 states nationwide, and there are at least 1,000 confirmed and probable cases. Kentucky health leaders are urging people to keep vaping devices away from young people because the short and long-term effects of e-cigarettes are still relatively unknown. For WMKY, I'm Lori Likens.
A new court filing has revealed the federal government began a fraud investigation into coal company Black Jewel, LLC, prior to the company's sale last week of two Wyoming coal mines. The Casper Star Tribune reports the document filed Saturday indicates the investigation also preceded Black Jewel's July bankruptcy filing. Court documents say Black Jewel owes the federal government about $50 million. The filing says the government has been investigating Black Jewel's potential violations of the False Claims Act, which holds corporations liable for defrauding the government. The government has asked a West Virginia federal bankruptcy court to delay discharging Black Jewel of its debts, which would allow the investigation to continue. A federal judge approved the sale of the Eagle Butte and Bell Iron Mines to Eagle Specialty Materials without Black Jewel's debt obligations.
A former University of Kentucky student will do prison time following social media threats she made to campus. 20-year-old Haley Duvall was sentenced to 6 months in prison and 6 months of house arrest on Tuesday in federal court. WKYT reports Duvall originally faced 15 counts related to the threats, but following a plea deal, 14 were dropped. She has pleaded guilty to one count of interstate transmission of false statements involving explosives. Prosecutors say Duvall used Snapchat to spread on-campus threats to other students. Duvall will have to report to prison December 2nd, and she will also be fined $1,800. She will be on probation for 2 years and 6 months following home incarceration.
The FBI confirmed on Sunday the confession of a well-known serial killer matched a 1984 murder in Covington, Kentucky. 79-year-old Samuel Little confessed to murdering 93 women during a 35-year span. He said he met a Kentucky woman outside a strip bar in downtown Columbus, Ohio. Here's Little describing the scene.
So instead of going in there, I took her the other way.
Right.
Round, winding around, they got hills out in Kentucky, and the road winds around the hills. She was like partially concealed by the vegetation. And I left her there.
That sound is courtesy of WKYT. The FBI says they need help identifying the final cases. For more information about the story, visit FBI.gov.
And now taking a look at your region's weather. Tonight, a 10% chance of showers, partly cloudy with a low around 54. Wednesday, a 10% chance of showers, partly cloudy with a high around 77. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 53. Thursday, a 10% chance of showers, partly cloudy, with a high near 80. Thursday night, partly cloudy skies with a low around 55. Friday, 10% chance of showers, otherwise partly sunny with a high near 82. And now taking a look at the current temperatures in the WMKY listening area. It's 70 degrees in Lexington, Winchester, and Mount Sterling. 68 degrees in Ashland, 67 degrees in Grayson, 60 degrees in Inez, and it's 69 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, a Morehead State University professor and longtime commentator here at WMKY has released a new album with his brothers. Juliana Leach has the story.
Geographically separated by over 800 miles, three brothers collaborated online to record their album, More Than a Line. The band, Good Enough, is comprised of Dan, Larry, and John Modaff. John Modaff, who teaches communications at Morehead State University, said this album had unique challenges the last five didn't.
This time it was more of a challenge than it's ever been in the past because we were separated geographically. So even though we're experienced playing together and we're brothers and, you know, we've been actually playing together since we were in the single digits, we had a challenge this time of dealing with the space.
That challenge didn't stop them from creating an album that was focused on technique and the overall folk sound.
The other thing about this album that's different for us is that we wanted it to be as stripped down as possible, the simplest instrumentation, focus on melody and lyrics.
The album features 12 songs and was all mixed and mastered at John Modaff's studio called The Creek in Morehead. Larry Modaff drove from Chicago to record. Dan Modaff recorded his parts at the 1013 studio in La Crescent, Minnesota.
But that's about it. It's been a little weird, this process this time, being separated and not playing together and not performing regularly and actually never rehearsing. I mean, we could not right now more than likely stand up and play these songs together without a day or so to practice them. I mean, we know every part of all of them, but we've never played them together.
Although the album isn't bluegrass, John Modaff said one of the reasons he loves bluegrass is because of the uplifting nature of the songs. Even if the lyrics are tragic, the instrumentals are usually up. The next project he works on will focus on that upward sound.
My personal motto is, compose or decompose. Do something. So we all can, we all will, we all do. I can imagine we'll just keep doing it. Because to not do it now feels odd after so many years of constantly producing.
This has been Juliana Leach with the story on the new album, More Than a Line.
Juliana Leach is a Convergent Media major here at Morehead State University. It's 448 and 69 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Shawmarie Mosley has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by-the-hour or per-game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
Rowan County soccer teams face off with Memphis tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Shamari Mosley. The second night of round one in the 61st District Soccer Tournament kicks off tonight in Morehead. The Rowan County boys open play at 6 p.m. with Memphis. The two teams met back in August where Rowan won the day 4-1. Coach Max Hammond says his Vikings have had a tough couple of weeks, falling in six of their last eight matches.
You know, we haven't been playing good here since late, so we've got to be ready for everybody. We can't overlook anybody because, I mean, now, you know, I feel like there's been a couple games out of this past, you know, couple weeks here where we've overlooked some opponents and they've came out on top. So we got to make sure we don't do that in any of the opponents that we play in the district tournament here. And, you know, we got to be ready to play.
The winner of tonight's matchup will face off with Fleming County on Thursday night for the district championship. In 62nd district play tonight, East Carter faces off with Greenup County at West Carter tonight at 6 p.m. The 12-3 Raiders are favored to win over the winless Musketeers. Boyd County at Ashland Blazer face off in the championship game of the 63rd District Tournament tonight. Boyd is favored to win after beating the Tomcats 2-0 during regular season play. Game time in Ashland is set for 6 p.m. The Round County girls soccer team is hoping to continue a great season with a win tonight over Menifee. The 2-13 Lady Cats fell to Rowan at home at the end of September 8-0. The Viking girls closed out at a 15-2 season last week with a loss to Lawrence County. Rowan head coach Alan Evans says he always likes to end the regular season against a strong opponent.
Just because you get overly confident, those strong teams remind you, you know, there's still other programs out there bigger and better, so you still have work to do. And so it's a timely loss. You know, unfortunately, we lost the streak. However, we're going to learn from that loss and go into the postseason.
Game time tonight is set for 8 p.m. And 62nd District action in Olive Hill tonight. West Carter and Morgan County meet at 8 p.m. The two teams are pretty evenly matched going into tonight's game, but the Lady Comets came out on top during the regular season game. Boyd County and Ashland Blazer face off tonight in the 63rd District Championship. The Lions had a surprising win over Russell last night to advance. Game time is set for 8 p.m. Taking a look at 16th Region Volleyball action tonight, Morgan travels to East Carter and Elliott County hosts Menifee at 6 p.m. Fleming County heads to Bourbon, Ashland Blazer hosts Fairview, Russell hosts Boyd County, and Rose Hill Christian heads to Raceland. All four of those matches are set to begin at 7 p.m. The Round County volleyball team is gearing up to host Greenup County Wednesday night. The 22-8 Vikings are 8-3 in the region going into the matchup. The Lady Musketeers stand at 12-17. Rowan head coach Steve Walters says the two teams have scouted each other at some tournaments this season.
We've been able to kind of watch them a little bit, and we played them at Ashland's scrimmage event way back at the beginning of the season. So they have been kind of, over the last couple of seasons, they've been kind of down. But this year, they have had a real bounce-back season.
Game time Wednesday in Moorhead is set for 7 p.m. Moorhead State Volleyball has a home date Wednesday night with conference and in-state rival Eastern Kentucky University. Eagles head coach Jamie Gordon says his team is in a tough fight against a scrappy EKU team.
They've got a young team that is learning how to compete and fight. And, you know, I think they're a really solid, scrappy team. We're going to have some long rallies. And you know, the fun part too is that it's EKU, and that's the rivalry for us. That's the big one. That's exciting. And you know, when you really look at what college athletics is about, it's those moments that you get to play your rival.
It's Spike Out the Stigma Night at Johnson Arena, an initiative sponsored by MSU Student Government Association and Student Athlete Advisory Committee to combat negative perceptions surrounding mental health. Both organizations will be on hand at the game. First serve between the Eagles and Colonials is set for 6 p.m. tomorrow night. Kentucky football will honor a legend as they come off the bye week. UK will host Arkansas Saturday as the program honors former quarterback Jarrett Lorenzen, who died over the summer. Head coach Mark Stoops says quarterback Sawyer Smith took the full bye week off and he expects he will start against Arkansas.
He's banged up. You guys know that. You know the other options that we've been working, but we'll proceed with Sawyer and anticipate him being the starting quarterback and being able to play this week.
Both Kentucky and Arkansas enter the game with a 2-3 record and both teams coming off a bye week that followed an SEC loss. Kentucky's to South Carolina and Arkansas's to Texas A&M. The Cats and Razorbacks kick off Saturday night at 7:30. And finally in sports this afternoon, 5 games into his rookie season, former University of Kentucky standout Benny Snell is getting most of his run with special teams, but a teammate's injury has opened the door for more playing time moving forward. Pittsburgh Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin announced Tuesday that second-string running back Jalen Samuels will miss about a month with a left knee injury. That injury bumps up Snell to that second-string spot, and he is ready for his opportunity. The Steelers visit the Chargers on Sunday night. Kickoff is set for 8:20 p.m. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Volleyball hosts Eastern Kentucky tomorrow at 6 p.m. and Austin Peay at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Soccer welcomes UT Martin at 6 p.m. on Friday and Southeast Missouri at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell sharply as investor optimism around the upcoming U.S.-China trade talks faded, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 313.98 at 26,164.04. The S&P 500 was down 45.73 at 2893.06, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 132.52 at 7823.78. The U.S. expanded its trade blacklist to include some of China's top artificial intelligence firms, punishing Beijing for its treatment of predominantly Muslim ethnic minorities. China's foreign ministry said to stay tuned for retaliation following the blacklist expansion. Also weighing on stocks was a statement by the State Department saying that the U.S. would impose a visa ban on Chinese officials linked to the Muslim abuses. Stocks found some support after Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said the central bank will expand its balance sheet soon. He noted this measure will be used as a response to the recent funding issues the bond market faced in recent weeks. Leading the broader market lower were bank shares, as Citigroup, Bank of America, and J.P. Morgan all slid more than 1%. The S&P 500 Industrials pulled back 1.6%, led by declines in Caterpillar and Deere. Big tech shares such as Facebook, Amazon, and Alphabet, which of course is the parent for Google, all declined. Semiconductor stocks dropped sharply as the VanEck Vector Semiconductor ETF closed 2.6% lower. Nvidia, ON Semiconductor, Qualcomm, and were among the biggest decliners in this ETF. Also, it was reported today that the White House is looking to limit Chinese stocks within government pension funds, and this hurt Chinese shares that trade in the U.S. Very much so today, with Alibaba and JD.com both down more than 3.5% each. On the data front, U.S. producer prices had their biggest drop in 8 months for the month of September, dragged down by lower costs for goods and services. Producer prices are an indication of inflation, and a decline could give the Federal Reserve more room to ease monetary policy. In the commodities markets, oil was down almost 1%, finishing at $52.26 a barrel. Gold was up 0.4% at $1,510.60 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a rough day with the Stock 600 index down 1.1%. Asia overall had a good day with the Nikkei up 1% and the Shanghai Composite up 0.3%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Fifth Third Bank down 84 cents at $25.45, Dollar General down 18 cents at $159.83, UPS down 2.82 at $112.75, Marathon Petroleum down 58 cents at $59.82, and PPL was down 58 cents to close at $30.23. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the MSU School of English, Communication, Media, and Languages, which offers one of only two Bachelor of Fine Arts programs in creative writing at a public university in Kentucky, and the first online Master of Arts in English program in the nation. More information is online at moreheadstate.edu/Caudill College or by calling the MSU School of English, Communication, Media, and Languages at 606-783-2650.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boy, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Zoe Hall, Jonathan Burton, Michael Green, Nacogdoches Miller, Lori Likens, Sarah Mead, Cody Robinson, and Shamari Mosley. KNN's Paul Miles, WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from Juliana Leach, editor of Morehead State University student newspaper, The Trailblazer. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.